Today's daf in Mesechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Choftet. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Chavchet Amud Beit. Shlosha Achin. So continuing on with this series of the nature of Achot Zekukato. So up until now, we've understood Achot Zekukato to be an Isser Derabbanan. Doesn't really have a Mokra in the Torah. And it's an extension of the idea of Zika, that it should be Mamash and Isser. So Rabbanan considered the Zika to be so powerful that when two women fall to a third brother, they were married to two separate brothers and their sisters, and they fall to the same brother. So because of the fact that they are sisters that are now related in the sense of both requiring Yibum, so we've been talking about through the entire Perek that we only do Chalitza, because if we do Yibum, it's similar to taking your wife's sister. So Rabbanan were Geizer. Today we're going to discover in this Mishnah a totally new approach, and that's the approach of Rabbi Shimon, which we mentioned way back at the beginning when we were learning the inyan of the pasuk of Litzror. So remember that Litzror, the Pashtus, were using the word Litzror throughout the Masechet as telling me this din of Tzoras, concept of Tzoras. So the Litzror that appears in the sugya of Achot Isha teaches that the tour to Yibum that is mentioned by Achot Isha through Aleha is also going to apply to Litzror, meaning on a woman who was married at the same time. Rabbi Shimon, if you will recall, has an incredible new understanding of Litzror. And he says Litzror means in the event that the Aleha, that is to say the Yibum, creates a Tzorah. How could Yibum create a Tzorah? What would make some woman be related to the same person as another woman? Indeed, that's the case of Achot Zekuka. In other words, up until this time, these two sisters have been going merrily along with completely separate lives where one has nothing to do with the other, and all of a sudden they find themselves essentially married to the same guy because they both fall to Yibum because their husbands were both killed in a car crash. And now they're falling to Yibum to a third brother. Comes along the Torah to say, according to Rabbi Shimon, in the event that the Aleah, that is, the Yibum, creates a new Tzara, because they are now interrelated within the same Bayit, that itself is a heter on both of them, and there is no Chiv of Yibum whatsoever. And that this is itself an Eshet Ach, if Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah. So let's see that in the Mishnah. We have our case that we've been talking about all along. Three brothers, Shloshachim, Shnayim Mehem Nesuim Shtei Achayot, and one of the brothers is unmarried. Two brothers are married to one of the pairs, either two sisters. Obviously, any time that we say two sisters, we could just as easily have inserted another pair, namely a woman and her daughter, a woman and her granddaughter, whatever the case is where the pairs are usher. In all of these cases that Rabbanan have been telling us all along, we're just repeating now just to introduce the new halacha of Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbanan have been telling us all along, Hare elu chotzot velo mityamot. But here we finally discover that Rabbi Shimon, he says nothing, poter, there is nothing at all that you need to do. There's no yibum, there's no chalitza. Hayta achat mihem asura lav yisr erva. Now, this seems to be completely repetitious. If one of them doesn't really fall to Yibum because she is an Erva, so then Asurba Umutarba Achota, exactly the same as we said before. If it's an Isser Mitzvah, an Isser Kedusha, then Choletzit Velo Mityabema. Now, that is something of a Chiddush, and it's not clear why, according to Rabbi Shimon, we would need Chalitza if, according to him, Midiraisa, she really is Asura Legamre, and she's Ptura. So why is it any more because of an Isser Mitzvah, an Isser Kedusha? I mean, what, because of an Isser Derabbanan? So now she's going to become requiring Chalitza, where before she didn't require anything. That's a little bit strange. I mean, I understand, according to the Rabbanan, who say you always require Chalitza in these cases of Achot, where there are Achot Zekukato. But why, according to Rabbi Shimon, would things get worse just because she is one of them is an Isser Kedusha? Okay, to be discussed in the Gemara. Let's take a look at the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon poter bishtehen min hachalitza min hayibum. What is the logic to Rabbi Shimon's approach? Shenemar v'isha alachotah lo tikach litzror. What he understands that to mean is that in the event that the yibum per se creates a new relationship where they would become tzorot zu lezu, and how is that? B'sha'a shenasu tzorot zu lezu lo tikach, meaning lo iye likuchin. There is no possibility of kicha. Kicha, even in the sense that we're talking about over here, of yibum, there's no such possibility if they enter into a state of a potential tzora. And therefore, lo yelech alukuchin afilu ba'achat mehem. So the fact that they are now interrelated tells me that I cannot marry either of them because they're considered to be a eshet ach shelo b'moka mitzvah. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's literally an erva. So that because they now become the erva v'achotisha of eshet achim shelo b'moka mitzvah. Unbelievable. Tanya. Okay, so that would be the explanation. Then we start going through Haitachat Miyam, Yisr Ereva. I can't believe we're doing this again. Tulamali. I know, I understand. We said this 20 times already in different cases, that if one of them was an Ereva, so this is no Achot Zikuka, right? So like, what? Why are we doing this again? I know, we said that. No. Because I would have thought that that's only Aliba de Rabbanan, and here we're talking about Rabbi Shimon. And I need to repeat to you that the same halacha is true of Rabbi Shimon. And why wouldn't it be? Because, Hol v'omar Rabbi Shimon, shtei achayot lo chotzot v'lo mityabmot. So then maybe we should be gozer mishum shtei achayot de alma. So in other words, even though in the Reisha, called the previous Mishnah Reish, but exactly the same case, right? And we saw that we don't have a Gezerah. So what exactly would the problem be over here? Because since, according to Rabbi Shimon, whenever we have two women that fall, it's an actual Isser of Erva, right? So according to Rabbi Shimon, I might think that we should be Gezer that even if one of them is an Erva, people are going to get confused because the halacha would be if we allow the other one to be taken, like according to the Rabbanan, what would be if people will make a mistake and think that, oh, I see, the issue is over here, a question of the Erva. What about Shtei Achayot that would have fallen to somebody? People will think that the real reason that it's allowed is because she's not the Erva herself. But if there wouldn't have been an Erva, Shtei Achayot de Alma should be allowed to be fallen to Yibum. So you'll say, but we already know according to the Rabbana, we don't make a Gzera like that. Well, of course we don't make a Gzera like that. Because according to the Rabbana, what's the worst that's going to happen? People will see, oh, an interesting case happened. There were two sisters that fell to that brother. And he went ahead, and he was miyabim, the one that wasn't an erva. And people say, well, of course. I mean, the one that wasn't an erva, why should she be a problem? And therefore, in another case, when two sisters fall, they'll say, well, you know, neither one is an erva in this case. So in this case, he should also be allowed to be miyabim, right? And they won't realize that, hold on, man. The reason that he was miyabim, the one that wasn't an erva, was because that itself made it that the two sisters were not achot zekuka. But they don't know that. They just think, okay, obviously, if one of them was an erva, he couldn't be miyabim the erva, and he was miyabim the other one. So here, both sisters are not erva. So he should go ahead and he should be miyabim. And we know that the Rabbanan did not make that gezerah. We just saw that yesterday and the day before. I mean, there's no such gezerah that just because one of them is an Erevah, we shouldn't allow Yibum because people might not realize that there's also an underlying problem of the Shtei Achayot. But that's because according to the Rabbanan, what's the worst that's going to happen? That someone will make that error and what? And he'll go and he'll do Yibum to an Achot Zekuka where there's no Erevah. So what's the big deal? Big deal is he was over on a drabana that he didn't know about. We were over on a drabana that you didn't know about. You didn't really do anything wrong. Because remember that the Isser being over on a drabana is not to be moreed against the Rabbanan. Kekol asher yorucha. Right? And lotate, I mean, it was small. I didn't know. I mean, so that was a chas v'shalom doing something wrong? Fine. So obviously we're not going to make a gzera because it's not so terrible. But according to Rabbi Shimon, if somebody makes that mistake, if somebody thinks that the reason that we were matir the other sister here, who is not an erva to the third brother who survived, is simply because of the fact that she's not an erva, then they won't realize, no, that's not the point. The reason we were matir her is because her sister was an erva, you see. Who's going to think of that? So because of that, they'll go ahead and be matir, a sister that falls as a chotz kukato, which according to Rabbi Shimon is an iser kares. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, this is a eshet ach shelo b'makom mitzvah. Because the Torah specifically said that litzrar, no din of yibum whatsoever. So you might have thought that according to him, look, this is very serious. I mean, chas v'chalila, somebody makes the very easy to make mistake. I mean, what would you have thought if we hadn't just learned Yevamos? You see a case where two sisters fall to Yibam. One of them is an Erva. The brother goes ahead, one surviving brother, he goes ahead and he marries the one who isn't an Erva. So you would say, right, because she isn't an Erva. Would you say, right, because her sister is an Erva? I don't think so. So therefore, it's a very easy mistake to make. So you might think you'd make a Gezerah, Kamashman. Even that, we don't make a Gezerah, even according to Rabbi Shimon. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, and if she was Aser as an Iser Mitzvah, or as an Iser Kedusha, so then we said that they need Chalitza, but not Yibum. Now, the question is over here, didn't Rabbi Shimon just say, I mean, we explained that the whole reason that we said this last piece of the Mishnah was to tell me that even according to Rabbi Shimon, that we don't make Gzera. So we're looking at the Chiddush of the Mishnah to be the approach of Rabbi Shimon, right? So then, if that's the case, didn't Rabbi Shimon just say one line ago in this very Mishnah that if you have Shtei Achayot, lo chotzot velo mit yabmot at all. Nu. So what do I care about the fact that what we have an iser drabonan of shnias, or we have an iser even of, gozer be a shnia, gozer be a rishana, to be a shnia. I mean, those are iserim drabonan. So what would we think? We should think that therefore she's more likely to fall to yibum. I don't understand. So why is Rabbi Shimon all of a sudden coming along and saying, now you need chalitza? If she wasn't anything, you wouldn't need chalitza. But now that one of them is something that is derabbanan, so now we need chalitza. I mean, what the possible logic is that in there? Rabbi Shimon should say, this is a case where both sisters are potter because they're both achot zekukato. And the fact that one of them also happens to be a shnia, how is that going to make things any different? Answers the Gemara, of course it makes things different. Because now we're worried about a gezerah. If we end up and we say, don't take either sister, okay? What will people say is the reason? I'll tell you what they're going to say. They're going to say, you know why you didn't take that girl? Because she was an iser mitzvah, and therefore, she didn't need chalitza. She didn't need anything, not even chalitza. So then, what would happen in a typical case? An iser mitzvah falls from a brother. So what would be the din? Forget about achotisha. Normal case. They would say, oh, I know, there was a time where I saw an iser mitzvah fall, and they didn't do anything to her. They didn't do chalitza, they didn't do yibum, nothing. Okay, so I guess there's no chiyuv of yibum in an iser mitzvah. And there's no chiyuv of chalitza. And they will go ahead and they will allow her to be like an erva and they'll let her out without even chalitza, without realizing that the only reason she was let out without chalitza in that other case that he saw was because she was an achot zekuka, who, according to Rabbi Shimon, is midiraisa, not supposed to get yibum or chalitza. Again, you can see how easy it is to make that mistake. People who don't know the Masechet would see that happen and they'd say, yeah, you know, of course he couldn't take her b'yibum. After all, she was his great-grandmother, thinking that the great-great-grandmother is also going to be Asura Midiraisa, and she isn't. Okay? Now, wait. I understand that. I understand that in terms of the Isser Mitzvah. But why are you telling me over here that the sister also requires chalitz? I mean, that doesn't make sense. If you're worried about people making a mistake about an Isser Mitzvah, and the basis of the mistake is the fact that I'm not taking into consideration the fact that she also had a sister who fell to Yibum, and she also didn't get chalitza, right? So, I mean, why isn't that a riot to people who say to themselves, no, it couldn't be because she was an Isser Mitzvah that she didn't get chalitza, because darn it, her sister fell together with her. Why didn't he do chalitza to her? That doesn't occur to them. We don't take into consideration the fact that they're certainly going to be aware that there was a sister, right? Okay, so then if that is the case, what exactly would we say is the need to take the sister and to say, you're going to have to give chalitza to the sister also, and she's not going to be able to marry anybody else unless you do chalitza. I'm very confused. Are we looking at the sister as an issue, or are we not looking at the sister as an issue? If we're looking at the sister as an issue, then she solves the problem of the Isser Mitzvah herself. So how do you explain that? Why would we do that? She can. I would know as soon as I look at her. If I know nothing about Yavamas, as soon as I look at her and I see, why the heck didn't they give chalitza to that woman? Oh, must be because she fell together with her sister. That I'm not going to do, right? So why do I make the gezerah? No, gezerah achota mishum lata dida. The truth is, I'm only saying that the sister is because people will relate to her the way they see the other one. In other words, if we let the sister out without chalitza, so people might say, so then if that's the case, so then if we have someone who is an Isser Mitzvah, we might end up thinking that a woman who is an Isser Mitzvah is obviously goes out without Yibum, even if she's not the sister over here of Izakuka. So people might not realize that the reason that we're letting her go is because of this new Isser Vachot Zekukato. They might think that it's because even a Shnia is considered to be the equivalent. And wait, just hold on a second. If you're telling me that, then in the standard case of Arias, why don't we make a Gezerah? If one of the sisters would be a real Erva, why don't we make the same Gezerah? And we should say that even though she's a real Erva, we should need the other one to actually need chalitza. Where we have one sister falling as an erva to the yavam, so over there we don't say it, that we should do chalitza to the erva because of the sister. We say that the yerva goes straight out without yibum, without chalitza. So then if that's the case, it's the same thing over here. We know if one of the sisters is erva, only the other one. We don't say, well, you know, people might get mixed up because of the sister, and therefore let's give chalitza to the erva, because we might let the other sister out without anything, so we better do the chalitza. So same thing in our case also. So the sister of the one who is asura because of Isser Mitzvah actually is an erva, right? According to Rabbi Shimon, she's an eshet ochiv shelo b'mokum mitzvah. And according to him, since she is a diaraisa, so why do we make an iser achiv derabbanan of chalitza? Because we're afraid that the other one might go out without chalitza. Let's be gozer on every erva. Let's say we're afraid that you'll go ahead and will allow actually, the very one who is a Surius or Mitzvah to go out without Chalitza, so the same thing should be true. No, everybody knows about Erva, but not everybody does not know about this. So shiny Erva, Migmar Gmirla Inche, every child knows an Erva, and they're not going to make a mistake of that. The Kola Itle, so basically we understand she is Bechlal not going to fall to Yibum, and everybody starts talking about, oh, such an interesting case, his mother-in-law fell to him for Yibum, and they didn't do anything right, of course, because the Torah says an Erva doesn't fall to Yibum. But in the case over here, where one of the sisters is not an Erva, and I don't know why it is, I thought that it was because she's an Isser Mitzvah. I don't know that the reason is because she's an Achot Zekuka. So if I don't do Chalitza on the other sister. So then anybody who doesn't know about Rabbi Shimon, certainly they don't know as well as they know an Isser Erva. I mean, you tell somebody, is there an Isser Erva called an Achot Zekuka? They don't know what you're talking about. So therefore, if that's the case, if two sisters go ahead and they fall to Yibam, so then if one is an Erva, everybody knows that there's no problem over here. She's not going to fall to Yibam. Therefore, let her go, because that's the Diraista. Nobody's going to think that her sister should go out without Chalitza. But in this case, people don't know that she's a real Isser Midiraisa, according to Rabbi Shimon. And they think that the reason that she doesn't need Chalitza is because of the fact that her sister is also an Isser Mitzvah, and it's the opposite direction. In other words, they will think that the reason that she ended up going out was Gufa because of the fact that it's Midiraisa. The real reason is that she is an Achot Zekuka D'Oraisa, but somebody may think that the reason she went out, note that this is the exact opposite idea, because they don't realize that her sister was out. That's what we said. Her sister also went out without Chalitza. So they should think to themselves, why was that? Must be because Achot Zekuka. They won't realize that. And they'll think that the one that was the Isser Mitzvah was only Muteret because of the fact that she was the sister of the Mitzvah. And that would mean that every Yavama who is Isser Mitzvah is allowed to marry without Chalitza. So therefore, we had to make a Gezerah which doesn't apply to Erva. And now it's time for our Sir Richard. Okay, now we're going to talk about the Ma'amar issue. We introduced the Ma'amar issue before, and we talked about it in the context of a Chalitza Gerua, if one of the brothers had done Ma'amar. However, remember that we also have another shita when it comes to Ma'amar. We've spoken about it a few times, and finally we're going to get to confront it head on, and that is Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says that Ma'amar is a real kinyan. Now, what we mean by a real kinyan is a little bit up for grabs in the Gemara over here. So first, let's listen to the Mishnah. And again, we have our standard case. We have three brothers, two of them married to two sisters, one of them is unmarried. So we've got Shlosh Achim. Shnayim nisuim shtei achayot. One of them is not married to anyone. One of the sisters, let's go back to the standard names that we use. So Reuven dies, that was the oldest brother. And then, in this case, the third brother, whose name is Levi, went ahead and did Ma'amar. And then, the second brother dies. And now, in this case, the second one falls to the third brother who already is related to the other sister, Reuven's wife, not just because of Zika, but because he also added Ma'amar. What happens now? Says Beit Shammai, what happens now is that it's as if he's already married to her, because Ma'amar is a marriage. And therefore, Ishto Imo, Levi keeps Mrs. Ma'amar, ex Mrs. Reuven, who now is deceased. And the second one doesn't need anything, because if Levi had been married to the sister, and now the sister, that is the wife of Shimon, falls to him, would he need to do anything for an Erva? No, because she's Petura Lagamri. She doesn't fall to him for Yibam, and everybody knows that. Well, if he did Ma'amar, it's exactly the same as if he was married to her and he had been miyabim her, and everybody knows that a sister that falls to you for Yibam goes out completely scot-free. And therefore, it's clear, according to Beit Shammai, that this Ma'amar has turned her into a full wife, and therefore she's going to be Petura from Yibam or Chalitza. Whereas Beit Hillel, which is consistent with the way we've learned Ma'amar up until now, Beit Hillel says no, he has to divorce his wife, his first, meaning the Ma'amar wife. In this case, it's easy to say his wife because he only has one wife, Levi, because he wasn't married to anybody before. So he has to divorce his wife, and he also has to give her chalitza. He has to give her a divorce, a get. He has to give her because of the Ma'amar. And even though the Ma'amar is only Darabonan, but it's the equivalent of a marriage, Darabonan, so you need a get, Midarabonan. But the get's not going to let you out of the Yibam relationship, so you're also going to need to do Chalitza. And then the other sister, Shimon's wife, you're still going to have to give Chalitza to. Of course, you cannot give her Yibam, obviously, because over here, she is still Asura because of Achot Zekukatosh. I mean, even more Asura than she was before. But that doesn't make it Midiraisa allowed to go ahead and marry somebody else without Yibam. And that's what we've been learning all along. V'zoi she'amru, this is the case. This, as opposed to other places where you might think it's the case, but this and only this is the case where we say, oy vavoy, this poor guy thought he was all set up. Mr. Levy, the guy who's been a bachelor for 40 years, and he's thinking, when am I ever going to, my brother died, I finally have a wife. He goes ahead, he gives her this diamond ring, everything is beautiful, well, we're not supposed to use diamonds, so he gives her a gold ring for her Kedushin, Hareat Mekudeshetli, everything's great, they're about to go ahead and live together as man and wife, and all of a sudden his other brother dies. Oh, no. So now he can't have either of them. The first one he can't have because now she became Asura to him. Because now she's Achot Zekukato. And Ma'amar didn't help him. It only made things worse for the other one. And now he can't have the other one either. Because both of them are now Achot Zekukato. Poor man, through no fault of his own, was only trying to be a good boy when he gave her that ring. And he ends up having neither of them as a wife. And that's what we mean, Oilo. What do you mean, Zohi?
Really?
Yeah?
Just to clarify, just Beisilo and Beishamai both agreed to the Koach of Mama. So there's no difference, there's no machlokas with them in terms of...
They're a very big machlokas. Beishamai is saying Ma'amar is a full kinyan, and it's a real marriage. And it is Docha, the Yibum, and the Chalitza of the other one. Despite the fact that you would think that it's only a Darabonan. So he's clearly saying it's a D'oraisa. And that the fact that a woman is a Yavama, why would that affect your ability to give her Kedushin? Because she's more yours? So therefore, there's no concept of Kedushin? Why not? Because go ahead and give her Kedushin, and then she's like any other woman that you gave Kedushin to. But if that's the case, if the sister of an Arusa falls to a person, there's no Chiyav Avibam. So therefore, there's no problem. Why would he have to divorce his wife? Why would he have to give Chalitza to the one who falls? Mashenken, Alibet Beit Hillel, he only looks like he's married to her because the Rabbanan said that's the nice way to do Yibam. But he isn't really married to her because Zika actually defines a relationship that precludes giving Kedushin. What sense does it make to give Kedushin? HaKadosh Baruch Hu already made you her husband. So it's a given. Then there should be no need of Kedushin. What?
The get is just the Darabonin.
Correct. Yes. It's just the Darabonin. So it's a very big machlokas. So now when the Mishnah says this is the only case where we say, oy vavoy, oy lai mishtai, what case do you mean is not oy lai? That's the case of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua, he said in a similar case, oy, vey, he says, vey from the wife, vey from the sister. What was the case over there? So over there we had two sisters, one of whom was married only midrabbanan, because she was a ketana. And she was a ketana that the father hadn't married because she was yitoma. And because of that, there was a kedushin derabbanan. Remember that the kedushin of a ketana in a mokum where there's no father was the takana that the rabbanan made in order to preclude people taking advantage of the ketana. So this way she has a husband who protects her. Now, in that case, it's really only Darabonan. So now when the other sister, who was already a Gedola, when her husband dies, now this guy, he found himself this cute little girl, and now he's married to this little 11-year-old, and he's really so excited. Oh, my gosh, now all of a sudden the sister falls to him, and the sister's a D'oraisa, and we say, well, sorry, buddy, but you got to get rid of your wife. No, yes, because now she's an Achot Zekuka. Oi, all right, well, at least I'll marry the older sister. Oh, no, you won't, because she's also Achot Sakuka, because this one was married to you, Midrabbanan. So there ain't nothing you can do. Says Rabbi Yeshua, oh, vey, the poor guy, he's out on both ends, right? So our Mishnah is coming to tell me, no, she's not out on both ends. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. The lo avdina kavate, but we have an option. Remember the options that we had. We can either do what Rabbi Gamliel said, or we can do what Rabbi Eliezer says. So we have two possibilities. Remember, Rabbi Gamliel said is, why would we tell him to get divorced? What we tell him is, look, wait until she grows up, and then you won't have to worry about the older sister. So don't do chalitza, because if you do chalitza, she'll be achot chalutzatcha. Since you're already married to her, we're not going to asser her as achot zkukato, and therefore she'll grow up, and then you'll be married to her, because you're going to sleep with her when she's already 12 years old. You won't even notice. And therefore, the sister will now be a real iser erva d'oraisa. She will not require neither yivum nor the chalitza. Simple solution. Time will cure all ills. Or you could do Rabbi Eliezer's idea. You go over to the little girl and you tell the little girl, I'll buy you an ice cream cone if you agree to go in there and say, I don't like my husband. So then she's mima in it and the husband, which is a complete annulment of the original marriage. And at least the guy gets to marry the older sister, right? And then there's no problem of her being achot zkukato, because they were never married. There you go. So therefore, our Mishnah says, you should know, our case of oy vavoy is the only oy vavoy case that there is. Don't worry about Rabbi Yeshua oy vavoying the poor guy who's married to the Ketana. Okay, so now getting back to Beit Shammai. Omar Rabbi Elazar. I know, says Rabbi Elazar, that it looks like Beit Shammai is saying that Ma'amar is a complete and total kinyan. Don't think that. Lote ma'amala Beit Shammai is an actual complete kinyan, meaning that if after making ma'amar, all you need to do is give a get to the woman that you did the ma'amar to, and then she can go ahead and marry whoever she wants. No, because it didn't take away the chiyuv of yibum, did it? It doesn't stand as a kinyan gomor in the place of yibum. Ma'amala Beit Shammai is kona. But in what sense is it kona? It's kona in the sense that ela litchot pitzara bilvad, that it makes, now, Rashi understands that this means tzara in the context of Rabbi Shimon's litzror. Who is the tzara in our sugya? It's the other sister, the sister that fell at the same time. That's litzror, correct? Okay, so then this is what it's referring to. Ma'amar is kona in the sense that if he's married through ma'amar, then it's a real marriage. And if the sister falls to him for yibum by the second brother dying subsequently, so then the halacha is, as is clear, she's completely petura because she's married. But what does that have to do with whether the one that you took, the ma'amar, still requires chalitz or yibum? You still have to sleep with her. You can't just go ahead and give her a ring. You have to actually be mekayim the mitzvah of yibum. Well, you didn't do that yet. So don't think you can get rid of her if you end up not liking her just by giving her a get. You're still going to have to take care of yibum, either by sleeping with her or by giving her chalitza. But you didn't do anything vis-a-vis yibum, but that's fine. This makes a heck of a lot of sense. There's two different issues. There's a mitzvah of yibum. And then there's the fact of the Kiddushin. Why are those necessarily interrelated? That's what Beit Shammai is saying, says Rabbi Elazar. Not to be mistaken as the way that Rabbanan look at Ma'amar. Rabbanan look at Ma'amar is that it's a nice way to do Yibum. So we'll make things nicer. Because that's a whole different vision of what Ma'amar is. It's not real Kiddushin. It's a Rabbanan ploy to make Yibum more reasonable. That's all. But here, you would have thought, says Rabbi Elazar, that Beit Shammai is saying it's like Yibum, it's nothing to do with Yibum. Two totally different issues. And therefore, you need to take that into consideration, obviously, in terms of the Chiyuv of Yibum and Chalitza. So therefore, that and only that is how to understand Beit Shammai. Omer Reb Avin, well, of course, Reb Elazar is absolutely correct, because you could see that from the Mishnah. Look in the Mishnah that we had, the first Mishnah that we had, right? Classic case. Two sisters fall to two remaining brothers, right? Over and over again. We went through that. So what was the close of that Mishnah? That neither of them are allowed to get Yibum or Chalitza, are allowed to get Yibum, they need Chalitza. And if the brothers went ahead and they took them, then they have to get divorced. And there Beit Shammai says, why do they have to get divorced? They can keep their wives. Now, what does that mean? They can keep their wives, but that's only if they did it, right? But they cannot keep the take their wives. L'chatchila, they cannot do that. So you see from there, so that the issue is that Isaac adaitach ma'amr l'Beit Shammai kone kinyan gomor. Let me ask you something. If Beit Shammai actually holds of ma'amar, why do we have this Mishnah? It makes no sense. Is there an iser? Let's say that we have this iser of achot zkukato, and that is this derabbanan. We're not going like Rabbi Shimon, right? So it's a derabbanan concept. Does that mean that you cannot go ahead and give her kiddushin? No, you can give her kiddushin. Do anything wrong by giving her kiddushin? Did you? We'll discuss this in a moment. The problem of giving kiddushin to a woman that's aser. I'll talk to you about it in a moment. But now, if you just give kiddushin, you didn't do anything wrong. But the moment you do give kiddushin, according to Beit Shammai, you've now made the other sister a real erva. And if you make the other sister a real erva, then you can go ahead and now do yibum on the sister that you gave the mamar to. So therefore, according to Beit Shammai, let each one of these two brothers do mamar. And if they do mamar, then they can continue going ahead and be miyabe. So in this case, the ma'amar is not the ma'amar of a woman who is asura to you. It's a woman who the ma'amar will make mutter to you. So it's a great idea. So why does Beit Shammai say, well, only if they went ahead and they did things wrong, then they could be Mekayim. Beit Shammai should have given them a great idea. Go ahead, use ma'amar, and don't do anything wrong, and then the ma'amar will be mutter, both of them. Isn't that marvelous? But he doesn't say that. Why doesn't he say that? Because the ma'amar is actually not something that takes the place of yibum in this sense. And therefore, he never said such a thing because it doesn't change the issue at all. So apparently ma'amar is not a real total kinyan. It's just docha. If it was a total kinyan, what would be wrong with this? Excuse me? You're not thinking straight, man. So let's say it's not a total kinyan, okay? It's only docha. Fine, it's only docha. Okay, very good. And if it's only docha, what's the problem? It's the same thing. We say to the guy, go ahead and do mimer. Did I do something wrong? No. Do mimer. Okay, fine. Now go ahead and do mimer. Oh, comes along Reb Elazar and says, ha-ha, that doesn't help you because it's not a kinyan gomer. I don't give a hang if it's a kinyan gomer or not a kinyan gomer. Do I have to take the sister? No. The sister is dechuya. Okay, great. So now I can do yibum? Yeah, now I can do yibum. So you're back where you were. You're not changing anything by explaining Beit Shammai and saying it's not a kinyan gomer. You haven't achieved anything. So Elamai, so what are you saying? You're saying, Reb Elazar, it's docha, completely docha. Okay, so if it's completely docha, I have the same question. Zeyaseh ma'amar v'yitcheh. Fine. I'll change the wording. You don't like the wording of yichnos. Fine. Zeyaseh ma'amar v'yitcheh. Thank you. Okay, so let him be docha the sister. The other one will do ma'amar and he'll be docha the other sister. And then everybody will be able to live happily married after ever, right? And everything's fine. Okay, so what are you going to answer me? I'll tell you what you'll answer me. The problem is that what you'll answer me undoes your proof from the Mishnah. I know what you're going to answer me. You're going to answer me, I was only talking about ma'amar in a case where you are allowed to do yibum. So then ma'amar works because there is no actual problem with this woman. But in this case where initially you cannot do the ma'amar, then you don't have the option of doing a real ma'amar, which is a total dihui, right? Thank you. And I'll turn right around to you and say, well, You could have said those same words, even if Ma'amar is Kone Kinyan Gomer, according to Beit Shammai, and you could have said, when did Beit Shammai say that Ma'amar is Kone Kinyan Gomer, where she was muteret to him for Yibam? But if she's not muteret to him for Yibam, so then Ma'amar doesn't make a Kinyan. Thank you very much. So therefore, please take this Mishnah out of your repertoire when you're coming to tell me what Beit Shammai's opinion is, because no matter what you're going to say about this Mishnah, this case is not the same as the other cases. And therefore, let's just read that inside. Elamai. So what are you going to say? You're going to say it's Docha Dechia Gemura. So Zeyase Ma'amar V'yitcheh, V'zeyase Ma'amar V'yitcheh, L'mayit Lach L'meimar, that only a Maimer that is heter, meaning where I actually could marry this woman, B'yibum, that is Docha Dechui Gomor. But a Maimer which is an Isser is not Dochui Isser Gomor. And therefore, even though, in the sense, if I did it already, so then I did it. Okay, so that's what Beit Shammai is saying. Look, if you did it already, see, then you did it, so we don't make you get divorced. But then even if you would say, Ma, Laman, Diomra, Mamar, is kind of Kenyan Gomor, not like what you're saying, that no, for some reason, it's not going to, even if it's like Rabami, we'll see later on, holds this in a moment. It is kind of Kenyan Gomor, but that's only in effect where it's a Maimer de Hetera, it's kind of Kenyan Gomor, but a Maimer de Isura is not kind of Kenyan Gomor. That is the approach of Rabbi Elazar, not to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rav Ashi, he says like this, that Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo tema Maimer le Beit Shammai dochi dechia Gomor, is exactly the opposite way, but it's the same issue. Don't think that according to Beit Shammai, Ma'amar is actually Docha, the sister, entirely, and that would mean that the Tzora doesn't even require Chalitza. Actually, Ma'amar is Docha, but there's a little bit of that Zika that's still left, and that little bit of Zika means that you are still going to have to give chalitza. The Ma'amar only helps that she doesn't become usher to her husband if he took her as an Achotze Kukato. But whatever little bit of Zika is left, you're going to have to do chalitza in order to get rid of. Now, obviously, this seems to be on the surface a complete contradiction to what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that according to Beit Shammai, if you took one of them, b'ma'amar, the remaining one is completely and totally not going to need anything. They'd say, no chalitza, no yibam. So what is he talking about? How could he say such a thing? Okay, fine. But we'll get back to that. And we already know what approach we're going to take. So according to this, we also, in the second version, we also have the statement. Omer of Avin, yes, indeedy. We have this in the Mishnah talking about two sisters falling to two brothers, and the two brothers are not supposed to do yibam, but if they went in and they did, so Beit Shammai says, yikaimu, which means yikaimu, but the chatchila, you can't do this. And if you believe that Ma'amar le Beit Shammai is completely docha dechia gemura, so then why wouldn't we just be able to use Ma'amar? Ze yase Ma'amar v'yitche. Ze yase Ma'amar v'yitche. Yes. So, but what the heck are you talking about? What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that she doesn't need anything. Can't you read? Beit Shammai omrim ishto imo vazo teitzei mishum achotisha. That means she doesn't need anything. If she's achotisha, she doesn't need anything. She doesn't need chalitza. How can you possibly read into our Mishnah the shita that Beit Shammai doesn't really let her go without chalitza and bring a riot to that from the first Mishnah where we're talking about this case, and Beit Shammai says, well, you see, from here, only in the event that you did go ahead and take her, you can keep her, but you couldn't do that. This is crazy. Then you're saying our mission is not true? So it says, beferish, that according to Beit Shammai, it's a complete and total dechia. Ela, the reason, obviously, that the Mishnah that in the beginning of the parak that talked about two brothers is completely different. Because what we mean is a Yavama, the case is like this, that a Yavama, which could have been taken for all of Yibam, so that in the end he's going to be Miyavimer. So there we say she's Ru'uya for the first stage, which is Ma'amar. But a Yavama, de lo chazio le kulo, is lo chazio le miksata. It's the same idea in a reversal of whether we're talking about Techia Gemura or we're talking about a Kinyan Gomer. So all that he's saying is, once each brother did Yibam, so then of course the other one is not Asura. because we've taken, now she's totally married. But I can't tell you to go ahead and do it lechatchila because she wasn't really ruya to do it to her. Therefore, we don't have a mimer that is kind of, that is doicha on that level if she wasn't straight out ruya to him. Okay, fine. Now, if we say that according to Beit Shammai, Ma'amar works, how much does it work? Does it work to make her the equivalent of a normal woman who is arusa? Or does it work because of the conjunction of Zika to make her a nisua? So it's as if she already was totally married. So is it a nisuin or is it an erisin? Amalei Abaye, I mean, what's the question mean? Why is it relevant? About what halacha are you asking? I mean, there's a lot of issues, right? There's the question about Yerusha. You're asking whether the Yavam, in the event that she dies, is going to inherit a woman that he never did Yibam to, but he did Mama. Or if he's a Kohen, are you asking, is he supposed to go to the funeral and be Metame himself if he only did Mamar and he didn't do Yibam? Or you're asking, is he allowed to be Mefer her neder? Is he considered to be a husband that could be made for a neder or not? So is that what you're saying? I mean, it seems to me that a real Arusa, standard Arusa, who's not getting involved in the issue of Yibam. So the halacha is that Rabbi Chiya made it very clear in a Braita. If a man's Arusa dies, he is not an onen, so he's allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. He's, if he's a Kohen, he does not go to the funeral, lo metameila. And as a matter of fact, she is not really totally married to him. And if he dies, she's also not onenet. She can eat Maaser Sheni. She doesn't go to the funeral. Doesn't mean she can't go to the funeral, but it means she's not mechuyevet to go to the funeral. Rashi has an alternative approach, which means literally she should not be mitama, which doesn't make sense. There's no iser of a woman, even if she's a Bas Kohen, there's no issue of a woman not being Metama, right? But it would mean, says Rashi, during Yontif. So the halacha is over there that there's a mitzvah on Yisrael, Nivlatam Lotigo, where we learn out that there's a mitzvah of Yisrael to be Torah during the Yontif. She does not, therefore, usher for her to become Tamea. And furthermore, if she dies, says Rabbi Chiya in the Braita, he does not get any Yerusha of hers. If he dies, she just collects her ksuva, yes, but over there the Gemara says that's talking about where he wrote her ksuva as an arusa. Because normally, if you don't write a ksuva as an arusa, the ksuva doesn't apply for an arusa. So now, that's the halacha, even if it was a normal case. Now you're telling me that you question what the din is for Maimer? I mean, surely Ma'amar is not going to be stronger than arusa, is it? Because, I mean, it's only really an interjection of the halacha. Now, there's a very problematic Rashi over here who starts talking about Ma'amar is only a drabonan, but the problem is we're talking over here according to Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai, we proved that. Obviously, Beit Shammai has to be holding that we are dealing with a deoraisa. So what Rashi is saying makes absolutely no sense. It's totally off the wall. So because of that, the Rashba says that what it means is that it's not that it's a drabbanan, but that vis-a-vis the din of an arusa, it's certainly going to be less than that. Because over there, for a very simple reason, we never saw that Ma'amar is considered to be chayevet mita if she has relations with another man. So therefore, she's not the same as an arusa. This is what Abaye is saying. And that's what Rashi means when he says that she is less than an arusa. Okay, it's a big, a lot of alternatives in Rashi, but we'll take that approach. There's even Achronim that give a different approach on why Rashi uses the word Rabbanan. But obviously, he doesn't literally mean the whole thing is the Rabbanan. So why, and we'll see in the end that this creates even further problems. Now, furthermore, says Abaye. So now I understand that your question, therefore, must be limited to the one issue. Does there need to be a Mesira L'chupa? That's the question. So normally we have a concept of a father giving away his daughter, right? Et biti natati le'isha zeh le'isha. And what that means is that even though a person has given a kedushin to a woman, if she says, I don't want to consummate this marriage, he cannot go ahead and say, well, you already accepted my erison, so you are now mine and I do what I want. You can't do that. So that's what you want to know. You want to know whether, if you went ahead and did ma'amar, is there still a halacha that a din of yibum is done ba'al korcha, whether she likes it or not? Or do we say that now she has to be treated as an isha who accepted erison, and therefore you need her consent to consummate the marriage? That's what you're asking. So you're asking, Nisuinosa, is she already completely married and therefore she does not require giving her over, and the din of Yibum that you could still be miyabim her bab korcha is chal? Or maybe now it's only erison and she needs misira l'chupa? I think that's an idiotic question. Because if he hadn't done ma'amar, wasn't he allowed to force her? Doesn't it say yivama yavo aleha? That means ba'al korcha. So now you're going to say because he gave her ma'amar, so now he loses the rights that he had before the ma'amar. The ma'amar adds the rights. It doesn't take away rights. What logic would there be in such a question? I don't understand you. Says Rabba to Abaye, absolutely. I'll explain to you why I think he loses rights. Sha'ani omer. What has happened is that this person created a new modality of relating to this woman. The Torah had given him one type of relationship, a relationship that is primitive in a sense. She is yours and there, go rape her. When we go ahead now and we substitute a normal kedushin for that, so then the Torah is saying, well, you still have a very powerful relationship of Zika, but now it's not the Zika that is just given. It's the Zika of a relationship to a woman, which precludes rape. And therefore, now you're going to have to treat her like a woman all the way. That's what I'm asking. So if Parcha Mimeno, goodbye Yabmin, she's no longer Yavama, she's now an Arusa. And therefore, maybe this Yavama actually needs Misira L'chupa, and you need her her actual consent for the relationship. My, says the Gemara, I'll answer it from a Mishnah in Nedarim. It says that a Shomeret Yavam, Bein Yavam Echad, Bein Shnei Yavamim, Rabbi Eliezer says, the Yavam can be made for her Nedarim. And Rabbi Yoshua says, if there was only one Yavam, he can be made for the Nedarim. But not if there were two Yavams. And Rabbi Akiva says, I don't care how many Yavams, even if there's one, you cannot do Afara as a Yavam. You can only do Afara as a husband. And over there in Nedarim, we went through the Sugya and we explained the Mishnah like this, that Rabbi Akiva, we understand, Rabbi Akiva apparently doesn't hold of Zika being a relationship that creates a marriage. And therefore, even he holds in Zika, even if there's only one brother. So if there's one brother, he cannot do Hafara. And if there's two, for sure, nobody can do Hafara. According to Rabbi Yoshua, who says, well, only if there's one brother, not if there's two. Okay, so we had that distinction before, that where Zika is well-defined, which brother is the one that is responsible for the Yibum, so then that brother becomes the equivalent of Yesh Zika as if he's married. And therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, he can go ahead and actually do Hafara. Okay, that I understand. The Trey, if there's two Yavamim, then there's no Zika for either of them, because it's spread out between two brothers. But I do not understand what Rebbe Eliezer is saying. If Rebbe Eliezer, let's say he's saying Yesh Zika, even for two brothers, right? So, but still, how can he do the Hafara? You need to have the one person that she's related to do Hafara. So why can one of them do it? If in this case two people have that same relationship, why don't we need that we should have both of them doing it together. But if one does it, it doesn't represent the entire relationship. So how do you explain Rebbe Eliezer? Rebbe Eliezer, Nihi Nami Dekasava Yesh Zika, that would explain only Bishlama Chad, yes, but Betray, they should require a double, both people together, being made for a Nadarim. And Reb Ami Bar Ava, to change the Girsa to, says that that one of the Yevamim did Mamar and is going Aliba to Beit Shammai. And Reb Eliezer comes from Beit Shammai, and he's saying that if he did Mamar, Mamar makes a Kenyan Gomor, and therefore he can go ahead and he can do Hafarat Nedarim. Now, here's my brilliant proof. You see, if you agree that Ma'amar creates Nisu'in, and therefore he's totally married to her like a husband, that would explain why he can go ahead and be made for all on his own. But if Ma'amar only creates Erusin, so then explain to me how the heck he can be made for on his own, even a normal woman who is an Arusa. So can the Orus go ahead and be made for the Nedarim? Yes, but only in conjunction with the father. He can't do it all on his own. And over here, Rebbe Eliezer is saying that he can. Must be that Rebbe Eliezer holds that Mamar is better than Erusin, and it actually makes Nisuin. So, but if you're going to tell me it only does Erusin, how could he do it Hafara? I mean, everybody knows a Farish Mishnah, Naram Urasa, Avia Ubala together are mefirin Nidarea. Yes, Gershi, we're getting to that. So therefore, the whole thing must be that the Mamar is even better. Omer Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, well, maybe that's what he means. Maybe Reb Eliezer was just saying he can be made for, meaning together with the father, obviously he can be made for. It doesn't mean he can do it alone. So Mamar maybe is only Erisin. And so now, if we're going to say that, then according to Rabbi Elazar, who said before, and this is what Gershon was alluding to, that Ma'amar LeBeit Shammai Eino Kone, it's only a Kenyan to be Docha the Tzara, Bilvad, how can he do any kind of Afora, even if it's together with the father? Well, Rabbi Elazar can say, I meant when I said that Eino Kone Elo Tchot Tzara, I said it only in the context of Yibam, that it's not going to be enough to get a get, you're going to also need Chalitza, that's all that I was saying. Did I ever talk about Hafaras Nedarim? Or we could say that what Rabbi Elazar would respond was like this, Amalek Rabbi Elazar. And according to Rabbi Nachum Bar Yitzchak, who says that even though Ma'amar is a Kenyan Gomer, it's only Erisin, you think that it's a good pshat? It doesn't say yaferu, it says yafer. Yafer means he can do it all on its own. Therefore, we're obviously talking about a special case over here. The special case being, how come am I asking on sha'am dabedin? In the event that this guy made ma'amar, or if there's one yavam, and he never ends up following through. He never takes her in marriage. He changes his mind. And he doesn't give her a get. He doesn't give her chalitz. He doesn't do yibum. And she sues. And if she sues him, and the court will say that he's got to act, and if he goes away, disappears, doesn't act, the court will issue a judgment against his property for her. And she is now supported as his wife. That's different, because once there's a court assessment for her, then of course he can be made for all on his own. Why is that? Kidra Pinchas Mishmeida Rava, the Omra Pinchas Mishmeida Rava, Kol Anoderet, Aldat Ba'ala, Hinoderet. The meaning of the Torah's halacha, that a husband can be made for Nedarim, is based on the obvious sense that women act keeping in mind their husband's reaction to what it is that they're doing. So even though she makes a neder deep down, she knows that the man that's supporting her and that she's dependent on, if he doesn't like that neder, he's going to say, forget it, baby, I don't like that neder. And therefore, it's a given that in this case, once the court issues a judgment against him, then that, in conjunction with the ma'amar, of course, is considered to be the isha noderet al da'ata. And therefore, we now end up with very many different approaches in how to understand the Afaras Nedarim. But there's one thing to which Gershi was alluding in his note. There's one thing that we need to make clear, that on one level, the Gemara seems to be completely off the wall. We first made an assertion. The assertion is, well, says Abaye, if a real Erisin wouldn't have given you the right to be Yoresh, would Maimer give you the right to be Yoresh? And then we turn around and say, well, you see that it must be Maimer does not only Erisin, but it does Nisuin, and it gives him the right to do Afaras Nedarim. But that wasn't even an option before. We only gave him the option of, is it a real Kenyan or not a real Kenyan? And now we're saying, forget about it. Is it a Kenyan or not a real Kenyan? It's actually a better Kenyan than Erisin. Isn't that weird? So the Rishonim point out that, yes, it's weird, but it is not unusual. And they bring many examples of this idea, where initially we think that the question is limited in a very strict sense to only two options. And then we realize, wait a minute, there's a completely different way of looking at this, in which it's better because of the Zika, not worse because of the Zika, and that therefore perhaps it even makes it a suing. And that is not such an unusual thing that it should trouble us in the way we approach the Gemara. But that would mean that we're now ending up with like a lot of different approaches over here in terms of what actually happens with the Afaras Nedarim. Because you could say, like we thought, you know what, maybe we'll go over that. I don't want to keep you any longer. We'll go through the different approaches that we had over here to review them, even though you say that should I now do a summary or... Yeah, okay, I feel terrible keeping you like this, but okay.
Rabbi, I just want to tell you your earlier verbiage. Myra makes the gender relationship and represses the rapelet aspect. Further, it changes the relationship. She's now akin to a fiancé, and sleeping her would not be yivum. It requires chup and wedding like contingencies.
What are you reading that? Like, what was that?
It requires chup.
No, where are you reading from? Who says this?
Rabbi Weinberg.
Him?
14 years ago.
If he's crazy now, he was for sure crazy 14 years ago. He hasn't gotten any better. I wouldn't worry about... No, I'll hear it afterwards. I don't want to take time from everyone. Okay, so there's been some tremendous, tremendous chiddushim today. Our first chiddush was the discovery of the fact that it's possible for an achot zekuka to actually be a deraisa concept, an actual erva, not because of the fact of the zika, but an actual erva because she remains an achot isha shelo. I keep doing that. An eshet ach shelo b'makom mitzvah, and that means that we have to add achot zekukato to the list of arayas, so to speak, of Eshetach Shelo Hayaba Olamo, or Eshetachiv Mi'imo. And here there's a case of an Eshetachiv Shelo B'Mokom Mitzvah, which is caused by the fact of falling at the same time as an erva, one of the joint ervas, Isha V'Achota, Isha V'Bita, Isha V'Ima, and so on. That is tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Then we had our second big chiddush, was that according to Beit Shammai, if somebody does ma'amar, actually the other woman that falls is considered to be the equivalent of falling to a guy who's married to her sister. And therefore, she would require absolutely nothing. But then we ended up zeroing in on that question by thinking, would she be chayev misa if she slept with somebody else? And in that case, if she wouldn't be chayev misa, so then it isn't really a kinyan. So in what sense does it pater the other one? So maybe it's only a kinyan in terms of being doicha. So you're telling me it's docha. Okay, if it's docha the other brother, it gives us all kinds of different understandings in Beit Shammai, including how we would learn the original Mishnah, that when two sisters fall to two brothers, there still is no option of each of them setting out and giving ma'amar for some reason. And that caused us to recognize that there are two different types of ma'amar, according to Beit Shammai. There's the ma'amar of a woman who actually is a yevama and is meant l'chatchila to be taken, and there it may be kona completely. But there's a ma'amar of a woman that is not meant to be taken up front, even though she could be taken if you did the ma'amar. But nonetheless, that ma'amar is not an option for you. And therefore, it's only if you went ahead and did either the yibum or the chalitza that you can keep her. But we don't take ma'amar as an option. Then we had all types of different approaches as to what the status of that ma'amar would be. So Abaya's original take on the issue was that, look, whatever ma'amar is, it's learnt out from Kiddushin. It's patterned on Kiddushin on some level. And therefore, it certainly can't be more than Kiddushin, can it? So if the real Kiddushin, which is by definition Erisin, has these limitations in terms of the dinim of Afar Sedarim and Yerusha and Avelut, certainly ma'amar is going to have those same constraints. That was one approach, but the Gemara ended up actually showing that that's not true based on the halacha of the ability of a ma'amar husband to be made for nedarim. Now, we had three approaches. That's a Mishnah in nedarim. What really is the relationship of a husband through Zika and a husband through Ma'amar? What is the halacha of his doing Afarat Nedarim? So we had three shitas over there. If you hold of Zika, then maybe it's only if there's only one brother that the Zika would provide an opportunity for Afarat Nedarim. If you don't hold of Zika, like Rabbi Akiva, Zika will never provide an option of Afarat Nedarim. If you hold, like Rabbi Eliezer, that there's Zika even for two, so then you could still do Hafaras Nedarim, Richie, you can still do, is a question you in the Mishnah is in Lashon Yochid, which in English is very confusing, but in real language, you, in this case, said he, and only he, and not they. So if that's the case, the idea is, would it mean that you can do it alone? So we had actually four different ways of understanding Reb Eliezer. One way of understanding Reb Eliezer is one of the two. And it's actually the equivalent of Nisuin, and you can do it all on your own, and you don't have to do it together with daddy. That was one approach. Then we had another approach. No, Ma'amar only does Erisin. When Reb Eliezer uses the word he, the singular you, you can do it, he can do it. It means, of course, out of the two Yavams, he can do it. Of course, he'll need the father. He can't do it all on his own because he's clearly not totally married to her. And then we had the other approach, Rebbe Lozer's approach, not to confuse Rebbe Eliezer, but Rebbe Lozer's approach is that she is only with the mama, she's only an arusa, and what he meant was that together with the father, you can do it. Or we had the last approach of Rebbe Lozer, which is that we're talking about a unique case. And the unique case is that she's sued. And in the event that she sues, then if the court gives her access to his bank account, so then she is the equivalent of a full wife. They always take your bank account. And therefore, as Rav Papa said, the real nature of Afaras Sedarim by a husband is based on psychology. Now, that is a tremendous chiddush in and of itself, because usually only Rabbi Shimon holds that you have a right to define a pasuk according to the way it strikes you. I mean, you know, Hafaras Nedarim is a gzirata katuv, right? So Rabbi Shimon maybe could go ahead and say, yeah, but it's based on psychology that she's thinking about her husband. But how does Rav Pope have a right to say that? So actually, most of the Rishonim learn that this is not an alternative to standard Afaras Nedarim. It's not that we're saying, well, in the event that we know the psychology, then anyway, she made it a condition of her neder that you agree. It actually means what it says. And he can do the real D'oraisa Afaras Nedarim. And as far as why this is not just a Rabbi Shimon approach, is because where the context of the pasuk makes things clear that they're based on something, then you have a right to take that as the meaning. And since over here the entire approach is bein av labito, bein ish li ishto, it's making it clear that it's the function of the relationship. How would it be the function of a relationship? Why isn't it just the function of the technicality of the fact of marriage? Since the Torah stresses the relationship, because of that, it's innate in the pasuk that we have a right to take care of the understanding of it in terms of psychology. Okay, that basically is the summary of what we learned. Obviously, now everything that we learned until now, just like every new scientific discovery, means you got to think the whole thing over from the beginning. This gives us all types of new, amazing perspectives in the whole Masechta. Tomorrow, maybe we'll hear what that guy from 14 years ago, what he had to say on it. It sounded very impressive, but it sounded very complicated. I'm not sure I can even understand it. But
Right, so the whole point is
excellent, excellent, beautiful. Okay, excellent.